This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Hour number two here, Christian Arcan Show. We'll be joined by Rob Bradford at some point this hour. I'm not sure exactly when, but we are waiting to hear from Craig Breslow. Joe's going to give me the signal when he comes out to the podium, and we will take that live just as soon as it begins. I'm going to hold off from taking phone calls because I don't want to have to interrupt you right in the middle of the call. And I do want to just say, for people who are still hung up on the Rutschman trade, is the Baltimore reaction to the Rutschman trade is something that I found pretty interesting. Because Rutschman, much like Marcelo Meyer or Roman Anthony or whoever, represented the youth movement for Baltimore 4 or 5 years ago. And you do have a young catcher coming up behind Sam Bisaio, who I like a lot, is the heir apparent there at that position and why Rutschman was considered expendable. But think about it from Baltimore's perspective. You just traded a number one overall pick, right? Wasn't Rutschman the first overall pick? To a division rival. You get back a bunch of prospects, but the rebuild, that dream of him and Henderson and all those guys, you know, that whole thing is kind of over. Baltimore stinks this year. They fell off considerably, and they're making this move because they feel like the American League is still kind of rudderless, and that even though they suck this year, they can be back again. And I kind of agree with them. Like, I do think that that's not out of the realm of possibility. They still have Alonso. They made some other moves that I liked in the offseason. Didn't really work out for them, but they were aggressive. They tried. They were, you know, sort of putting their you-know-whats on the table, and it just didn't really work out for them. I'd rather that than not trying. And I feel like that's sort of where the Red Sox were when it came to the trade deadline anyway for the last couple of years. That, to me, is really the story here. The story of this is the change in philosophy of your Boston Red Sox. And I don't mean like their organizational philosophy of pitching and hitting or anything like that, but their philosophy of how to carry themselves at the trade deadline, how to recognize a move that may not be exactly the value add in terms of the values that you get from prospects and so forth. I'm not explaining that very well, but you know how they put everything into the computer and judge the value. And the value in this case goes to Baltimore. Baltimore ends up with the more value. The prospects are more valuable, they're saying, than just Adley Rutschman. But what's more valuable to this year's Boston Red Sox in an American League where you don't really have a clear favorite, and the clear favorite in the majors is a team that you just swept in their house this past weekend leading into this trade deadline? If that there, just that in of itself, wasn't enough to convince you. The 15-game win streak, everything else that's happened really since, you know, the middle of June. If that wasn't enough to convince you, then they'll never be convinced. Then the Red Sox would never have been convinced. It was kind of now or never, you know? It was either this, it's going to happen now, or you're never going to do it, because then when is there going to be an opportunity like this? An opportunity where you, your team, which was 14 games under 500, left for dead in the American League and pretty much given up on by everybody, and company included, unfortunately. Maybe not Joe. Joe, did you give up like I did, or were you still a believer? You gave up too, right?
Oh, yeah. I was way out a long time ago.
I just don't remember you ever actually declaring it, but I guess you probably did. But yeah, we all saw the same thing. We all watched the same team. And through a combination of better hitting and the American League being so stagnant that just one hot streak here, and now this hot streak is extended way beyond that, but just the hot streak that it took to get them back into the third wild card was enough to do that, and it really, in most years, wouldn't have been. It would not have been. You were way too far out of it for one hot streak to get you to 500 or one game over 500, and that's all you need? No. That's generally not enough. But this year it was. And if you're going to be gifted an opportunity like that, you better make the most of it. And I'm glad that not only Craig Breslow, but John Henry and Tom Warner and the rest of the gang all saw that the same way. Because there was a report that the deal was just about finalized. It just had to be okayed by John Henry. And I read that and I said, oh, God. Oh, no. Why is this? Like, why are you reporting this even? Like, it just made me think he's going to shoot the thing down. Or he's going to say, nope, sorry, the value doesn't add up, and you know, we're going to have to extend them. We don't want to pay that money. Or whatever kind of excuse they could figure out to wriggle their way out of it. the medicals, we didn't like them, whatever. And they didn't. They followed through with it. They went through with it. That, I think, was substantial. That was significant. That's the type of thing that it seemed like this team was really trying to get away from. And that's much to the dismay of not only people like me and fans and everyone who follows this team, but the players and the managers and everybody that's involved on the ground with the actual play on the field. Year after year, you have Alex Cora just, come on, give me anything. Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers. And I know not every player in the clubhouse was saying these things. Some of them probably didn't want a trade to happen because it could hurt their career. They could be the ones getting traded, or they trade for someone who plays their position, or who the hell knows what. But I think they spoke for a lot of people that felt secure in their spot on the team and thought, if we're going to do anything this year, then you really got to help us because everyone else is going out there and helping themselves. And that was true again this year, too. Tampa, New York, Toronto, everybody. The White Sox made a bunch of moves. All these teams were making moves. And if the Red Sox were the one team that didn't, ugh. Oh, would that have been just a slap in the face to everybody? That would have been a real declaration of, hey, this is who we are. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. We're not gonna go for it. We are not gonna act like a major big league team here, a major market team. It's not in our DNA anymore. We'll spend the money, but we're not actually gonna carry ourselves that way. And y'all just have to get used to it. And instead they went the other direction. And oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God they didn't let the momentum and excitement and everything that sort of came with that big win streak, which is still going on, by the way. I know they're not in the 15-game win streak, but like this hot streak is still very much, we're right in the middle of it. They just swept the freaking Dodgers, for God's sake. Like, this team is white hot. And now you've brought in some legitimate reinforcements. Did you win all the trades? No. I don't know if you won either of the trades. I don't even know if you won the Meyer trade. But the Rutschman one? I consider it a win because it helps the 2026 Boston Red Sox. That's why I consider it a win. Same with the Meyer trade. He was not helping you this year. Maybe he could down the road. But you brought in a kind of a project there in the bullpen. Big lefty setup guy. And when I say big, I mean this guy is huge. This guy is a moose. I don't even know if he'd fit in that door. 6'6", 250 or 270?
You saying he's more than a hoss?
Oh, I mean, is there another? What's bigger than a hoss? I don't know. I don't know what you call that. But whatever it is, that's what he is. I don't know if you can get bigger than a hoss. I have to ask Jones and Q. I have to get a ruling from them. Mega hoss? Mecha hoss? Either way. I'm tap dancing here because I'm waiting for Breslow. We're still waiting for him? Should I take a call then? All right, let's take a call. Why not? Jaren Duran, still on the team. Yep. Yeah, not surprised. Not surprised he's still here. I do think they're going to try again to move him in the winter. I do think he should be benched, probably. But I also think you may have just missed the boat completely with this whole left field situation. I don't know that you have another option other than Yoshida or maybe Jones, depending on if you want to do like a platoon out there. Duran is a pretty good defensive outfielder. Wouldn't say he's great, but he's pretty good. As for his hitting, I mean, it's okay out in L.A. But I think that the die has been cast as far as his season and what his season's going to be remembered as this year. Even if he has a good August and September, I mean, if it's really good and they vault over the Rays and end up winning the American League, then okay, different story. And if he has a great postseason, then no one's going to even remember how bad he was this year. Ask Derek Lowe in 2004. Derek Lowe did not have a good year in 04. I think it was 04. And then all of a sudden, he's part of history, you know? So that's the way it can go sometimes. And this Red Sox team does seem to have a little bit of that aroma, don't they? Maybe not history, but like, you know, for them, their history, a comeback like this, it's not exactly the Bobby Thompson, the New York Giants here. The Giants win the pennant. It's not the shot heard around the world. That was August, and they were like 17 games out. It's not even Cleveland, what Cleveland did last year. What Cleveland did last year was unbelievable. But it's, for the Red Sox, significant. And I think that they did a very good job of sort of capturing the significance of the turnaround and then tacking on top of that a significant departure from their normally uninspiring trade deadline behavior. I think that that's all good stuff. That's all positive. If you're really down on it, I can't, you know, listen, it's a free country. You can think what you want. But I don't know how you can really be, how you can really look at this and say, man, the Red Sox really screwed up here. I just don't know how you can feel that way. But, you know, that's why we have a call-in show. 617-779-7937 as we continue to wait here for Craig Breslow to address the media. Let's go to Rob in Rhode Island. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Cam. What's going on, man? I'm not so much unhappy with the trade as I am it being called some type of a blockbuster and this, you know, big-time help. Talking about a guy whose average is going down every single year the last few years. You know, he's been out the last 2 years, multiple games, I think 97 and 69. So he's got some injuries coming his way now. He's getting a little bit older. And he's never been a guy that has any real significant pop. Look at the stats. You know, they're not a home run guy. He's not an RBI guy. So I just don't see it as being such a big deal the way, you know, everybody else in the baseball world is putting it. I would have rather seen to spend a little bit more and get a shortstop like Ellie De La Cruz, you know, who's also a multiple position player. You know what I mean? I don't know. I would have rather seen something like that instead of trying to call this some type of blockbuster. It is what it is. Yeah, you're right. They did something, but what they really do.
Rob, thanks for the call. Rutschman is a three-time All-Star and a Silver Slugger. So, I mean, you can say what you want about his career. He's only played in the league for, this is his fifth season. And, yeah, he's banged up a bit this year. He had a great start to the year. He was very, very good in the month of April, which I'm not going to tell you it's worth it because he had a good April. But his rookie year, he was excellent. 2023, he was also pretty excellent, I thought. 20 home runs, 80 RBI, 19 and 79 in 2024. He was hurt last year, and that certainly hurt his production. And this year, he's starting to get back to where he was. Right now, this year, his numbers are better than they were in 2024, and that was an all-star season for him. OPS is higher, slugging better, on base more. That year, he had 19 home runs. This year, he's probably on pace for less than that. He's probably on pace for like 14 or 15, but he also missed a bunch of time this year, so it's hard to really say. And he does have a wrist injury right now, sprained wrist, which I immediately thought of Roman Anthony, and when I heard that the Red Sox were going to be taking a look and discussing the medicals and figuring all that out, I thought, oh, God, oh, no, not them, not these guys, not this crack squad of medical professionals who have been misdiagnosing literally everybody that's come through here, not them. But, yeah, you gotta dance with the girl you brought to the prom, and that's who they got. You're not going to change over their medical staff now. We still have not heard from Breslow yet. I guess we're still waiting on that, still in a bit of a holding pattern. So let's go ahead and take a break here, and we'll come back in 2 minutes. If we still don't have Breslow, we'll get back to more of your phone calls. If we do have Breslow, we'll go right to him. In the meantime, 2 minutes, and we're right back. Christian Arcancho here, WEEI. Still waiting on Mr. Breslow. I heard they had to reboot his mainframe, which is what's taking so long. Ba-dum-ts. Come on. That was better than my Uber joke. It's not saying much, but it was a little bit better than that anyway. 617-779-7937. As we continue to wait for Breslow, we will continue with your phone calls. Red Sox active at the trade deadline. I'm happy about it. How do you feel? We'll continue with Ralph in Cranston. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, you know, it's funny because they're a better team today. They really are. And the catcher, he's a really, really good defensive catcher. I hope he comes around now and helps them. They're not better for the playoffs. For the playoffs, you have to score runs. And they really didn't make a big trade, which I didn't want them to do. They gave up some prospects, though. I mean, they really did. But right now, they really need, in all honesty, Story and Anthony to come back and give them something. And I say Story could prove himself. He's been a disaster. He's not worth the money that they paid him. Maybe he comes back and he gives them some pop. But, you know, the trade didn't make them better in the playoffs because you have to score runs, but you have to love this catcher. I got to tell you, this catcher, I was looking at photos of him and how he throws out runners, and They do have a catcher that you can grow with even more. The kid's not old, you know. But, you know, they really didn't help them. In the playoffs, we saw with the old...
Ralph, I think they did help themselves in the playoffs because this is now at-bats that would have gone to Carlos Narvaez, Connor Wong, or Mickey Gasper. You know what I mean? Like, this, how can you say that's not an upgrade there? I mean, it's a huge upgrade.
No, you're right in a way, yeah, but we all wanted that little pop of that guy to put maybe between Abreu and Contreras. But you know what? I didn't want them to chase, but I'm happy about it.
All right.
I mean, I didn't think he was going to do much. So.
All right, thanks for the call, Ralph. I didn't want them to put anybody in between Abreu and Contreras, by the way. Leave those two right where they are. You want to switch them, you know, who's third and who's fourth, fine. But, like, those guys as the middle bats, I'm totally fine with. Rafaela, a combination of Abreu and Contreras, is perfectly fine with me for the rest of the year. That's one of the few things offensively on this team that's really kind of worked out all year long. I know Abreu's had hot and cold streaks for sure, but Contreras and Rafaela, for that matter, have been your most consistent guys. And Abreu's probably one of your most consistent guys too, right? Bat-wise, cold streaks or not, this is a guy that you've relied on, and when he's been hot, he's carried the offense. So don't worry about that. I think Rutschman is exactly the kind of guy on the outside of that 2-3-4 that they were looking for. Durbin has proven to be a pretty good right-handed pitcher. Here's Craig Breslow. He is now coming out and addressing the media. Here he is right now. Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI. Craig Breslow just wrapping up. A lot to cover here in what he had to say. There was an interesting moment when he was talking about Marcelo Meyer. Did you catch this, Joe? Where he's talking about Meyer. And he almost slipped back into saying Meyer's a big part of what, he almost said what we want to do. Or a big part of our, and then he goes, or was a big part of us. And, you know, now it'll be a big part of the Giants, of course, which kind of crazy that the Giants now have Devers and Meyer over there on the over there on that side of the infield.
I don't think those two ever synced up last year. I think before Meyer got called up, Devers was traded away.
Sounds right. Sounds about right. Couple of real clubhouse guys there, those two. couple of teammates that you always want to have around, certainly with the younger ones. I also, with the Meyer thing, keep thinking about how Cattell Marte was this past offseason, and they didn't want to give up Meyer. They didn't want to give Meyer to the Diamondbacks for Marte. And maybe it would have taken more than that, and maybe there was more to the report, but I remember that being a sticking point. And just like Jaron Duran is too much to give up for Dylan Cease last year, here we are, you know, another one of those woulda, coulda, shouldas. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate when you miss out on potential deals like that because you're not willing to go the full bore. It's unfortunate when you draw a line in the sand and that line in the sand ends up being whatever it is, you know? Like, it sometimes just seems so insignificant. Marcelo Meyer, you could add Cattell Marte, and now instead you trade him for a big lefty reliever who can't throw strikes. And I know I'm being kind of mean to this new guy, and I shouldn't because he's humongous. He's like the size of a grizzly bear, this guy. He's unbelievable. But, you know, the numbers are what they are. 28 years old, he has a very high walk rate, does have good stuff, and the reason why I'm not freaking out about that so much either is because I think a pitcher comes here, and this organization can whip him into shape. I do believe that. Just like I believe they have a pretty good factory of, you know, pitching development coming up through the minor leagues, and at the major league level for that matter, where they've had to get up to speed very quickly a series of young pitchers over the last two seasons. And I named them earlier, but I mean, you know, Dobbins, Fitz, Toley, Early, Harrison, etc. Like, those guys had to do a crash course when they got here from the minor leagues to the major leagues, and they all did okay. And I don't know if that's all because of the team, but it just, you know, you notice patterns like that, and you assume that that's something this organization can handle. And that's sort of where I am with all that right now, which is also why I'm not too concerned about them trading away their pitching prospects.
They trust the pipeline, man.
They do. And I trust the pipeline, too, at this point. We'll play more of what Craig Breslow had to say. We'll react to some more of that. But a lot of you waiting patiently here to react to this, so let's continue with your phone calls, and we'll start with Johnny in Brooklyn. He's been waiting a long time. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, Arcan. Thanks for the call, man. Listen, I am as far away from being a baseball general manager as they come. So, okay, my thoughts with a grain of salt. I just, you know, look at the team that just swept the Dodgers, Monasterio, Sogard, Siegler. And to me, it's like, stars usually win championships, and I would have come into this trade deadline hoping that the Red Sox could have gotten an all-star player. And you know, I don't know. It doesn't look like they did, but I want to get your thoughts all together. You know, what's your grade for the trade deadline? And thanks so much for taking the call, man.
You got it, Johnny. I would say for the Rutschman trade, I give him a B+. For the Meyer trade, I give him a B-. The Mead trade, I liked at the time, but I don't know. You ask me today what I think about it. Obviously, I don't love it, but I thought at the time it was like a B+ trade too. So I'd say, you know, solid B+. I may even go A-. And really, it's not even so much about the individual moves and the individual players and whether or not you gave up the amount of value that was right for those players. Like that's part of it, sure. But really what the high grades for me is them doing things that were uncomfortable, which Breslow also talked about. We'll get some of that audio for you, too. Talking about his comfort level, the organization in general, going outside of their comfort level to land this trade, to put a bunch of prospects together like this, and bring in a guy at the deadline, not in the offseason, at the deadline, and to pay that deadline tax, and to do it for a guy that is a name people know. There's a tax usually for that. And let's also remember that Breslow was going to be getting taxed here regardless because other teams knew how desperate he was. The Yankees and the Red Sox both wanted Rutschman. And I think the Orioles played this pretty well because the Yankees wanted him, and the Yankees are scary, right? They're the Yankees. They're going to get their guy. But the Red Sox were more desperate than the Yankees to add a bat because they had already tried to and whiffed. So you had a feeling that if you wanted to push it over the, you know, the goal line here with the Red Sox, you would be more likely to squeeze an extra whatever out of that, extra prospect, cash consideration, whatever the hell it is. Carlos Narvaez, I don't know what the throw-in was, but you're more likely to get that from the Red Sox than the Yankees, and the Orioles knew that, and the Red Sox ended up having to pay that extra tax for that too. So I think you got taxed three ways. Typical Massachusetts, right? You got taxed three extra ways here for Breslow. You had the deadline tax. You have the tax of it being like a known name, even though he's not having a great season. Rutschman is a name that people certainly know. And Craig Breslow was already behind the eight ball because of the Mead injury. So there you go. There's three ways right there that other GMs and the rest of the league was going to look at Breslow and the Red Sox and say, hello, lunch. Let's eat this guy alive. And instead of backing away from it, instead of sitting on his hands and, you know, turtling from those kind of odds, he went right in and made the deal. And I give that an A-. I think that took some courage. I do. And I think it took more than it would take to just say, nope, that's too many prospects. I'm not going to do it. We'll be fine this year with Connor Wong and Carlos Narvaez. I think it took courage to make this trade today, especially considering it's not the most natural thing in the world for Craig Breslow or this front office and ownership group to be doing. And maybe that's, you know, damning with faint praise, but that's how I feel about it. 617-779-7937. How about Rick in Salem? Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, Christian.
Yes.
Rushman's a huge upgrade.
Definitely.
This kid's a good player. He's young still. He's been nicked up a little bit over the last couple years. He's a huge, huge upgrade. He's a hell of a catcher. And I'm very, very happy. Prospects mean nothing. Let me get to Meyer. Ready? Meyer was, now listen, this guy's been nothing but a nagging injury since he's come through the system. It's like he could care less. He got that bonus money when he signed, that $6 million and something. He's like, he don't put in the work. Give me Siegler even over him all day long. At least this guy plays with passion. I am so glad that they got Meyer out of here. Give me the left-hander all day long, Christian, over him. I couldn't stand him.
Thank you, Rick. Oh, sorry, Rick. I thought you were done. Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with you. And I think the team agreed with you, too. I think the team was all done with Marcelo Meyer. And I do think it's unusual for a team to give up on a young guy that they drafted high and who has really only had not even a full season of service time yet, right? I don't think he hit that.
I think he just passed the calendar year because he was called up.
Has he played 162 career games?
I don't think he's played in 162, but okay. I know he's been a major leaguer.
For a calendar season, that's what you're saying. For a calendar year. And maybe he's like right around that. I don't know exactly. I have to look it up. But whatever. Either way. You're talking about a guy who's either not yet or just completed one full season of playing in the majors. Usually guys like that get a little more time, unless there's something else going on. I mean, I can tell you I know what was going on or anything at all. I can tell you that There's a lot of rumors. There's been a lot of whispers. And if he was producing on the field, those whispers and rumors would mean literally nothing. They would not be, we wouldn't talk about them. They would have no bearing on anything. People would be saying, whatever he's doing, keep on doing it, kid, because it seems to be working for you. But it was the opposite of that.
114 career games.
114, not even a full season. Okay? Not even a full major league season's worth of games and at-bats. 617-779-7937. Let's try our good friend. Oh, we got to, sorry. We'll get back to your phone calls, I promise. We had to readjust the clock because of the press conference. So what we're going to do here is we're going to take another quick break. We'll come back, and we will reset the phone, 617-779-7937, and we'll go back over some other things that Craig Breslow had to say in just a minute. It's the Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI.